ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरं शान्ताकारं भुजगशयनं पद्मनाभं सुरेशं विश्वाधारं गगनसदृशं मेघवर्णं शुभांगं लक्ष्मीकांतं कमलनयनं योगिभिर्ध्यानगम्यं वन्दे विष्णुं भवभयहरं सर्वलोकैकनाथं सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। सो लास्ट वीक वी हैड समराइज्ड द फर्स्ट 17 वर्सेस एंड देन स्टडीड इन डिटेल द 18th एंड द 19th वर्स। सो आई विल समराइज दोस टू। ही सेज हे लोका इन द 18th श्रुणुत प्रसूदि मरण व्याधेश चिकित्सामि माम। ही सेज यू आर ऑल सफरिंग फ्रॉम द डिजीज ऑफ बर्थ एंड डेथ कॉन्स्टेंटली। बर्थ एंड डेथ एंड एंड That is the vyadhi. And what is the chikitsa? What is the cure for that? So he says that has been given to us by munis like Yajna, Valkya, Adi. Other great rishis and munis have given us the cure. And what is that? Krishna. Krishna Amrita Akhyam Piyatam. Having drunk that Krishna medicine, which is ameyam, amritam, which is immeasurable. This consciousness, this Brahma, this Lord Krishna is immeasurable beyond space and time and immortal and ekam. And that is one. So that he's talking about Vedanta, that one Brahman, one consciousness only is appearing as all these. And by drinking this Krishna medicine, you will achieve nirvanam. Nirvanam means all the vasanas, all your desires will go away and you will achieve that fulfillment of your life. So by chanting Bhagwan's name and by remembering and by drinking the medicine means by making it part of you and totally immersing yourself in that is the only way to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And then in the shloka number 19, he had told us, Hey Martya, Paramahitam Shrunuto Vakshyami Sankshepataha. I'm telling you briefly what is good for you. What is your Paramahitam? What is your supreme good? Because why are you telling us? Because he says you are drowning in this ocean of samsara. And you do not know how to get out. Samyak Pravishya Sthitaha. You have so caught in this world of samsara with my family, my children, my property, my job, all those things are just catching you and you are not able to get out. So what is the exit route? You know, everywhere when you go in a theater, they tell you this is the exit. In the plane, they tell you, you know, the front exit, back exit, side exit. So here the exit is Om Namo Narayana. Chant the mantra Om Namo Narayanaya, remembering the Lord, and do it with humility and do it again and again. Not so be 5 minutes and in the evening 5 minutes, but constantly remember. So that is what we have studied so far. So we'll do a shloka number 20 today. Sharad, you would like to chant? Prithvi Renuranu Payamsi Kanika Falgu Svulingo Laghu.
Prithvi Renu Anuha Payamsi Kanika Falagu Svulingo Laghu.
Tejo Nishvasanam Maruta Tanutaram Randram Susukshmam Nabhaha.
Tejo Nishvasanam Maruta Tanutaram Randaram Susukshmam Nabhaha.
Shudra Rudra Pitamaha Prabhritaya Kita Samasta Suraha.
Shudra Rudra Pitamaha Prabhritaya Kita Samasta Suraha.
Trishte Yatra Satavako Vijayate Gumavadhutavadihi.
Drishte Yatra Satavako Vijayate Bhumavadhutavadihi.
Good, thank you. You can please mute. We'll all chant together. Prithvi Renuranu Payamsi Karnika Falgo Sfulingo Laghu. Tejo Nishvasanam Maruta Tanutaram Randram Susukshmam Nabhaha. Shudra Rudra Pitamaha Prabhritaya Kita Samasta Suraha. Drishte Yatra Satavako Vijayate Bhuma Vadhuta Vadihi. So here he's telling us that about the glory of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Brahman, the consciousness, which is the Supreme Lord here, represented by Bhagwan Vishnu or Sri Krishna. He says, compared to you, what we think as big is nothing. So he says, Prithvi, this entire earth that we think is huge, and so many thousand miles and so many billion people. He says, Renu Anu, it is a tiny dust particle. Compared to you, this entire earth is just a dust particle. If earth is dust particle, what are we compared to him? And we start thinking, you know, array, I am so great. But compared to that Supreme Lord, we are nothing. And Payamsi Kanika, and all the oceans, all the seven oceans, rivers, all the lakes, everything you add is one drop of water. Compared to you, it is one drop. And how about all the fires, all the heat, you know, the fires, they are like a single spark. Falgu Laghu means a tiny insignificant sfulinga. Sfulinga means a tiny insignificant spark. All the fires are nothing but a tiny insignificant spark. Tejo means fires. How about Maruta? All these winds that are blowing, hurricanes and tornadoes and all of those storms, he says, they are just your simple breath. All the Marutas, all the winds are Nishvasanam Tanutaram. Just a tiny exhalation of you is equal to all the breaths, all the winds in the universe. Then we think space is very big, you know, billions, trillions of miles and on and on. He says, Randram Susukshmam, Nabha, Nabha space is Randram Susukshmam, just a tiny hole. Compared to you, this entire space, which goes for trillions of miles, is just a tiny hole. That is what your glory is. He says, how about the gods? So here also it's a little controversial, but some people. He said, Shudra Rudra Pitamaha, even Shiva and Brahmaji compared to you are insignificant. So we'll talk about that. Why he's saying that? Prabhritaya means, and others, means in every, you know, creation, there is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. compared to you, that Narayana, that consciousness, they are all insignificant. And how about the gods, you know, the god of Indra, god of wind, god of Vayu Devta, Varun Devta. He says, Kita, they are little mosquitoes, little insects compared to you. Samasta Suraha, all the devas are nothing but mosquitoes or little insects compared to you. And why does he say that? Because drishte yatrasa, when you look from your vision, satavaka, when your vision we see, vijayate, it is always victorious. You are always victorious. That's what we says, na satyamev jayate na anrita. So the Lord is ever victorious. Why? Bhumau adhuta vadhi, your glory is limitless. Not only on this earth, but in all the 14 worlds. So, why is he talking about all the gods and the space and all, and then that supreme? Because he's talking from the absolute level. From the absolute level, the absolute supreme consciousness. Whatever we can perceive or even think of, you know, we can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. But whatever I can think of heaven, I can think of hell, I can think of Brahmaji creating Shiva on the... Here Vishnu Bhagwan is considered the supreme, but Shiva sitting in meditation. So compared to the absolute, everything is relative. And that's what... It's very important. That's why Bhagwan Sri Krishna also switches back and forth from absolute to relative, and we get lost. That's why you need an acharya like Shankaracharya ji or Swami Chinmayananda to tell us whether Bhagwan is talking from the absolute level or the relative level. He says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagada vyakta murtina. He says, but through me is all this universe. Nacha matsthani bhutani pasya me yoga maishwaram. On one hand, he says, all the beings are in me. And then he says, the beings do not exist at all. This universe is just an illusion. And pasya me yogam. And from my yoga, from this maya, this whole universe is an appearance. So it is important to know whether this shloka is from the absolute level or the relative level. So this shloka takes us to that absolute supreme truth. And as we said, you know, dust, particle, drop, all that we covered. How do we say that absolute and relative, small and big? So the example they give is an ant. Now in my room, suppose there is an ant which is crawling from one corner of the room to the other. It might take her all day. You know, it might take her a whole day to crawl. But I can go from one corner to the other in 5 seconds. So she will think, oh, this person is so great. You know, he walks so fast or she walks so fast compared to the ant. So at the relative level, compared to ant, our stride is much bigger. Or even our lifespan may be 70, 80, 90 years. But an insect like a mosquito or a firefly lives for few hours. So from their point of view, oh, this person lives for 90 years. Wow, he's so great. Or a dog, you know, if we look at it, they say one human year is equal to 7 dog years. So when a dog is 14 or 15, they are already 90 plus. So they consider a 14 or 15 year old dog very old. So similarly, from that absolute standpoint, we are very limited. And it is said in our scriptures that whatever your Ishta Devta is, that we consider supreme. Like in Ganpati Atharva Shirsam, it says, Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnu, Tvam Rudra, Tvam Akhilam Brahma, you are. So in there, in Ganpati Atharva Shirsha Upanishad, Ganpati Bhagwan is considered supreme. In when we do Lalita Sahasranama, we say from you came Brahmaji, Vishnu, So how does that? So what it means is that for me, my Ishta Devta is supreme and everybody else is, I respect them, but they are not number one. The example they give is, suppose a lady gets married into a family where there are 6 brothers and 3 sisters. And imagine it's a big family. And so she gets married to brother number 3. And there are 5 other brothers and 3 sisters. For her, her husband is supreme. She respects all the others, the other 5 brothers, the other 3 sisters. She respects them. But for her, number one is her husband. So that is concept of Ishta Devta. So it does not mean that Shiva or Brahmaji are any less than Vishnu Bhagwan. But for a devotee, he says, my Devta is the highest. I remember one of the students in Sandipani, when they were teaching this, he would never chant this mantra because he was a Shiva Bhakta. And he said, oh, my Shiva is being considered insignificant. But then the teacher explained to him this concept that it is from the relative standpoint. And whoever is your Ishta Devta, one should have that idea that my Ishta Devta is supreme. That he has become the whole universe. That's why in Shiva, they have Shivalinga, where Shiva is the form and Shivalinga represents the formless, infinite Brahman. So my Devta is the infinite. And same way Vishnu Bhaktas or Krishna. That's why in Krishna, that's why Arjuna, when he asked Bhagwan Krishna, I want to see your cosmic form. In the beginning, he was very delighted. Wow, all the worlds and all the heavens and all the sky and even the hell and all the earth and past, present, future, everything is in you, all the weapons and everything. And then he saw the terrible form of the Lord, where not only birth but also death is happening. And he could see in this Mahabharata war, thousands of warriors are going into Krishna's mouth. And then he couldn't take it anymore. And then he said, oh God, I cannot take this. Please come back to your original beautiful form. So we get overwhelmed. And that is what it says from the absolute. Example they give is Everest. Everest, now I remember when we went to Kailash, we flew in a plane over Everest. And we were above Everest. Everest looked small from that, you know, that little plane. But then when you talk to Edmund Hillary, who went with Tenzing and the first one to conquer Everest, they asked him, he said, I did not conquer Everest. Everest conquered me because it was so huge and so difficult. I didn't realize how big this mountain is. So it depends on where you are looking from, whether you're looking from a plane or looking from a floor. So this verse gives us humility that the Lord is infinite. He is supreme. Compared to him, whatever we think is big is nothing but dust particles, is nothing but a tiny spark, a little hole. So what it means is that only the Lord's infinite glory will shine. And I am just a humble servant. So this shloka should give us humility. And that is the purpose of this shloka, that my Lord is supreme. I am just a humble servant. I'm just a humble instrument. I am a dust particle. Jagruti, you would like to do the next one?
Sure.
In Purush Suktam also the same thing. How Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. And compared to that, and his the whole universe, you know, from his head came the heavens, from his feet came the earth, from his nabhi came space. So the same concept is in Purush Suktam also. So we'll do the next one. Badhenanjalina natena shirasa gatrai saromodgamaihi.
Badhena jalina natana shirasa gatresya romodgamaihi.
Kanthena swaragat gadena nayanena udirna bashpambuna.
Kanthena swaragat vadena nayanena udirna bashpambuna.
Nityam tvacharanaravinda yugala dhyanamrita swadina.
Nityam tvacharanaravindura yugala dhyanamrita swadina.
Asmakam sarasi ruhaksha satatam sampadyatam jivitam.
Asmakam sarasi ruhaksha satatam sampadyatam jivitam.
Okay, you can please mute. We'll all chant together. Badde nanjalina natena shirasa gatrai saromod gamaihi kantena swaragat gadena nayanena utirna bashpambuna nityam tvacharanaravinda yugala dhyanamrita swadina asmakam sarasi ruhaksha satatam sampadyatam jivitam. So he says in the end, asmakam sampadyatam jivitam. Our life gets enriched. How? How does our life get enriched? Sarasi ruhaksha satatam. When I always remember your lotus eyes. Sarasi ruha means that which is born out of water. Aksha satatam. Always I remember, always I meditate upon your lotus eyes. But how do I meditate? He says it's not just sit and just meditate, but badhena anjalina, with my hands bow down, with my hands held together in attitude of pranam or offering flowers. Badhena anjalina. So my hands are folded together doing pranam. And then my head, natena shirasa, my head is bowed down to you in humility. And when I remember your lotus eyes, your glory, your beautiful form, and all your qualities, gatrai saro mo utgamaihi, my body, with my body gets horripilation, means my hair are standing on end. I just am, you know, just overwhelmed. And then he says, kantena swaragadgadena, and my throat, swara gadgadena, it becomes choked with emotion. My throat becomes choked with emotion. I become speechless. Naena udirna bashpambuna. And from my eyes are flowing tears of joy. And he says, nityam, nityam, always tvat charanaravinda, your lotus feet, yugala, those two, dhyana, mrita, swadinam. So I, when I taste the amrit of your lotus feet, it is like nectar when I just remember that. Even remembering your lotus feet is like nectar, is like amritam for me. And that is the two-way taste of that. And our life is enriched by this. So we see here that there is complete love where his hands are folded, head is bowed down, his body is having horripilations, he can't speak, he's choking, his tears are flowing down his eyes. And we find not only in bhakti but also in the world, if you watch on TV and somebody has won a championship, you know, and they are interviewing the quarterback or, you know, the star player, or soccer, or whoever that scored the goal. And we find that when they interview him, a lot of them start crying, even though they have won the championship, and they can't talk. Their throat gets choked. They say, I can't describe the feeling. So when in the world, you have won something and you have that emotion where your throat is choked and your eyes are flowing with tears. And even though you are victorious, how much greater would be when you are remembering the Lord and your throat is choking and your eyes are flowing with tears. So that's what they say, cry out for the Lord. Oh Lord, please come. Darshan do Bhagwan. Meri akhiya pyasi re. You know, there's a very famous bhajan. Oh Lord, please come and show your beautiful form to me. My eyes are thirsty to see you. So that is complete love. And in the world, Swami Vivekananda ji said that the finite can never give you complete love, can never give you complete happiness. If you want complete love, you want complete happiness, it only can come from him, from Bhagwan. And so how about human love? You know, I love my child, I love my spouse, I love my parents, I love my... So human love helps to purify the mind when the love is unconditional. And that's what they say, that in Bhagwan's world, there is only one law, the law of love. Mm-hmm. Only one law, the law of love. How about all the other laws? Law of gravitation, law of physics, law of magnetism. Those are all relative laws in the world. But in Bhagwan's world, there is only one law, and that is law of unconditional love. See, our love for Bhagwan is always with conditions. As long as things are going well, Bhagwan, I love you. You have done so much for me. And the moments I don't get something, are Bhagwan, what is this? I go to your temple every day. I pray to you. I do so much. Or mujhe kya mila? What did I get? So our love varies depending on what Bhagwan has given us that day. But it says unconditional, total, unadulterated love. Even when things are going not going well, and I'm having physical problems, emotional problems, whatever problems, it is the Lord's love because he wants to wake us up from this sleep of ignorance and turn towards him. So even the so-called sorrows are actually meant to wake us up. And that's why, you know, Kunti told Bhagwan that always give me sorrow, because when you give me joy, I don't remember you. I only remember you when I have sorrow. So that's what he says. He says nityam. Now, this is very, very important. Nityam means constantly. Not only Mondays. You know, if I'm Shiva Bhakta, oh, Monday I will do Rudram, I will chant, and other 6 days, forget him, wait till next Monday. No, like you can't tell somebody, I love you, but I will only love you every Monday. She'll say, bhag ja yahan se, get out of here. You can't love a person one day a week. So similarly, when you love Bhagwan, you remember him every day of the week, all the time, just as the newborn child. A mother doesn't need to put an effort. She constantly remembers the child. Wherever the child is, she may be in a party and child is playing or he's crawling around. Even she's talking to somebody, half her attention is on that. So that is called nityam, constantly remembering. And how should I remember? So Raman Maharishi says it very beautifully. He says, remembering God means become his food. Become food with God. That means in Sadarshanam, he says that you become his food. That means you merge yourself in Bhagwan. You become one with Bhagwan. When we eat food, even though I eat something like a mithai or a pizza, it is separate from me. But the moment I eat it, it becomes one with me. So similarly, become one with Bhagwan, one with God. And that will give you great wealth. So we think, you know, wealth is only money. But true wealth is the culture of a place. For example, in India, the culture, look at it, so vast. Every state has its own dance, has its own food, its own way of wearing clothes, its languages. What a rich variety. If you go to the temples, how beautifully those people have carved each pillar, each figure. The whole wall is filled with beautiful stories of Bhagwan and the whole Sri Krishna's life. So that is true wealth. Wealth is of culture. Wealth is of religion. Wealth is of art, you know, the beautiful dance, you know, the different dances, Bharatnatyam, and then, you know, Garba, how much variety we have, Kathakali and all. So that is true wealth. True wealth is of culture. And if you look at our Sanskrit language, how much, as I think we had studied, there's 2,000 ways of describing elephant. Just the word elephant. There are 2,000 words which describe elephant. And how beautifully the language flows when it is chanted. How beautiful it sounds when you listen to Vedic chanting, you know, which you all do from 12 to 12:30. How beautiful it sounds when it is chanted by priests and all. Just this third line, Nityam Tvacharanar Vinda Yugala Dhyanamrita Swadinam. How beautiful it sounds. You know why? Because Sanskrit is chanted laghu dirga, up and down, one word has to be up, one hand. And a beautiful flow of language is there. So that is true wealth and that is true culture. So that's what he says, remembering, O Lord, remembering your glory and meditating upon you gives us that true wealth, that true joy, that true, and that's why tears of joy are flowing. And we find that in devotees, they never complain. Bhagwan, whatever is happening is good, never complain. But, and that's why we enjoy being in the presence of devotees, in the presence of Mahatmas, in the presence of saints, because they are always, their mind is connected with God and they have no reason to complain. On the other hand, if you find somebody, you know, you meet somebody and he says, how are you? That's why in you ask, how are you? And then you don't wait for an answer, you leave, right? How are you? And you are leaving. And he said, mostly they say, fine. But suppose he starts saying, you say, how are you? He says, you know what? I got up this morning and I had a headache. And then my back was stiff, and then my coffee was cold, and then my eggs were runny, and then I got so much traffic, and then I went to office, my boss shouted at me. I said, why did I ask this guy, how are you? You know, uski Ramayan shuru ho gayi. That's what they say in Hindi. They say that's a very wrong use of the word Ramayan. Ramayan is supposed to be something. So the point is that people are just, if somebody is complaining, you don't want to be. That's why they say, be happy wherever you are. That's why they say, don't worry, be happy, because whatever is happening for the good. And one time in Puja Gurudev, he came out of an elevator and there was this American guy. He was traveling in the States. And he said, oh, how are you? He said, fine. So he said, have a nice day. You know, they always tell everybody, have a nice day. So everybody used to tell him. So Gurudev one day stopped the guy. He says, have a nice day. He says, how? Gurudev asked him, how? Means we just mechanically say. He said, oh. And nobody had ever asked him how. You know, we just mechanically say. So he said, whatever you want to do, you do. So the point is that we mechanically act in the world. But he says that be always present. Be always in the company of the Lord and do stop complaining. And that we can only learn when we are in the presence of devotees. So that's why they say the true devotee of the Lord is one who does not complain, has complete undivided love for him, and his mind is always in the Lord. And that is the beauty of this. It tells us how these devotees of the Lord approach the Lord. Saroj Ben, you would like to do the next one? You can unmute, please.
Yeah.
Hey Gopal. Let me chant it, then you hey. Let me finish chanting okay. Then this whole sentence. हे गोपालक हे कृपा जल निधे हे सिंधु कन्या पते
हे गोपालक हे कृपा जल निधे हे सिंधु कन्या पते
हे कम शांतक हे गजेंद्र करुणा पारीण हे माधव
हे कंसानतक हे गजेंद्र करुणा पारिण हे माधव
हे रामानुज हे जगत्रय गुरो हे पुंडरीकाक्षमां
हे रामानुज हे जगत्रय गुरो हे पुण्यहरिकाक्षमां
हे गोपी जननाथ पालय परम जानामि न त्वां बिना
हे गोपिल जननाय पालय परम जानामि न त्वां बिना
या टुगेदर यू कैन प्लीज यू हे गोपालक हे कृपा जल निधे हे सिंधु कन्या पते हे कम शांतक हे गजेंद्र करुणा पारी हे माधव हे रामानुज हे जगत्रय गुरो हे पुंडरीकाक्षमा हे गोपी जननाथ पालय परम Janami na tvam vina. So here he is using a lot of beautiful names of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. And then he ends with Palaya, please protect me. Why? Why not? Why don't you go to others for protection? Param janami na tvam vina. Aside from you, na tvam vina. Param janami, I do not consider anybody great enough or able to protect me the way you are protecting me. You are the one, only you. That's why they say, Sirf Teri Sharan, only your refuge is the one that I want, nothing else. I do not want any other protection, whether it's police, whether it's army, whether it's nothing. If you are with me, then that's why they say, na janaki nath sahay kare, kona bigad kare naratero. He says, if the Lord Sri Rama is with you, janaki nath, then nobody on the world can touch you. So very beautiful names of Bhagwan Sri Krishna he has used. He gopalaka. Gopalaka means one, he took care of the cows. But go in Sanskrit also mean the Vedas. So the Vedas were also protected by Bhagwan because first of all, the Vedas came from Bhagwan Shri Krishna. And then when the Vedas were in danger, he came and protected them. How? There are so many instances like that demon Hayagriva took the Vedas and went to the bottom of the ocean. He wanted to keep them. He didn't want humans to learn the Vedas and become great. And he wanted the demons to be all powerful. And Bhagwan Vishnu took the Matsya avatar. That was his first avatar out of 10. Took the avatar of a fish, went down to the bottom of the ocean, destroyed Hayagriva, the demon, and saved the Vedas and brought them back. And we find from time to time, like Ved Vyasji, that is also a Vishnu avatar when the Vedas were in danger and were getting lost and there were so many scattered all over, he came and organized them for us. So Ved Vyasji, then Shankaracharya ji, when all the wrong ideas of Buddhism and Hindu, all the wrong ideas of Hinduism and Buddhism were taking over the country, he came to re-establish the Vedic knowledge. Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, when again all kind of Andhavishwas superstitions were going on, he came to give us this right knowledge. That's why we are able to study all these texts because of Shankaracharya ji and Puja Gurudev and of course Ved Vyasji. So that's why they say you are the Gopalaka, you are the protector of the Vedas, and Kripa Jalanide, you are the most compassionate one. And we find his compassion constantly there. And then, He Sindhu Kanya Pate, you are the Lord of Lakshmi. Why Lakshmi is called Sindhu Kanya? Because when the churning of the ocean was going on, Lakshmi Ji emerged from that, from the churning of the ocean by the Devas. And it is said Lakshmi Ji was alone, so she took a garland and then she was looking for a husband. So she first went to Brahma Loka, and there Brahma Ji was busy creating, didn't have time. Saraswati Ji was already there, and everybody was meditating. Om, Om. She said, oh, this is a boring place. I don't want to stay here. Then she goes to Lord Shiva, and she finds he all snakes around him, and the bull is looking at her. She said, Ye nahi chahiye mujhe, let me go. Then she goes to Vishnu Bhagwan, and he's sleeping. Handsome Lord, you know, sleeping on this Sheshnag in this ocean of milk, and she puts the garland around him. And Guruji said he was the only one who got married in his sleep. He woke up and he said, Kya, meri shadi ho gayi? I'm already married. Who are you? So she said, I am Lakshmi. So the point is that you are the Lord of Lakshmi. That's just humorous, you know, just making it. And he says, Kamsa Antaka. Now this Kamsa was a totally evil, where he used to kill newborn children just to destroy Krishna. That's how evil he was. So I was listening to one of the commentaries, and he says that that's the difference between Mahabharata and Ramayana. In Mahabharata, even the good people have made mistakes. You know, like Yudhishthira made a mistake, Bhishma, Drona, Karna. They were very noble people, but they were on the wrong side. So they made mistakes. But in Ramayana, it's very interesting. Ramchandraji, of course, his life was without blemish. But even Ravana, who is supposed to be the villain, was a great scholar. He was a great Sanskrit scholar. He knew all the Vedas. He chanted that Shiva Tandava Stotram, which is long and full of beautiful melodies, which even today there are very few stotrams that have that kind of glory of Shiva's glory. And that's why he pleased Lord Shiva and, you know, Brahmaji, and that's why he got all his boons. So the thing is, even the villain in Ramayana was highly educated, was very cultured, but his knowledge was in the wrong direction. That's why Rakshas, the opposite is Sakshara. Sakshara means educated. But Sakshara, educated, when he becomes Ulta, he becomes Rakshas. And that is what Ravana was. So that's what he says. O Kansantaka, Gajendra Karuna, we have talked about it. You know, he showed his compassion to the elephant. We talked in detail last week. And Parina, and limitless compassion you have for everybody. Whoever is suffering, whoever is having problems, you have limitless compassion. Hey Madhava, hey Lord of the Lakshmi Ji. And Madhava also means the destroyer of Madhu, Madhu Kaitava. Then he says Ramanuja. Ramanuja means the younger brother of Rama, and that is Balrama. So Balrama, Anuja, Ja means born, Anu means following. Anuja means the one who was born following. That means the second child, the one who was younger. That's why Sri Ram's Anuja is Lakshman. So here, Balaram's Anuja is Sri Krishna. Ramanuja and Jagat Traya Guru, you are the guru of all the three worlds. That means all the knowledge has come from you. That's why we say, Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. I salute the lineage of Guru Shishya Parampara, which started from the Lord himself. Bhagwan Shankaracharya Ji, then came, you know, of course, Lord Shiva, then Shankaracharya ji, then our guru, and so on. So I salute. So in same way in Bhagavad Gita, you know, we worship Bhagavan in the Gita Dhyanam as the Jagat Guru, as the Lord of the whole earth, because he gave this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to us. And Pundarikaksham, this beautiful lotus eyes you have. And Gopi Jananatha, you are the Lord of the gopis, because as Swami Ishwarananji in his commentary said, gopis were very simple hearted, loved Krishna, their mind all the time was on Lord Krishna. And so that simplicity is what attracted Bhagwan, and that's why he gave his heart to them, and he always remembered the gopis. In fact, he used to play the flute, and once he left Vrindavan, went to Mathura, he stopped playing the flute because the flute reminded him of the gopis, because when he, you know, when they did that, the ras, you know, on that full moon night, and he played the flute and all the gopis were dancing around him. That's what Puja Gurudev says, that Krishna did not dance. Krishna was the center on which the gopis danced around. Same way, is the Lord is unmoving. It is the consciousness. But because of that consciousness, we are all moving around. So that is the glory of this Gopi Jananatha. Palaya param janami na tvam vina. There's a very beautiful story I heard. It so happened that Ramchandra ji and Lakshman ji, when they were looking for Sita ji, they stopped in one place, and they, you know, they, the bow is sharp at the end. So they dug it, you know, just you dig it little into the ground so the bow shouldn't fall on the floor. So they both dug it. And then Ramchandra ji noticed that under his bow, there was some blood. So he immediately pulled it out and he moved the mud and he found a frog. And he said, this frog is my devotee. I know him. I know this frog. So he says, why didn't you cry out? You know, when the bow was hurting you, why didn't you cry out? He said, Bhagwan, look, if somebody else had hurt me, I would have said, oh, Ram, oh, Sri Ram, save me. When Ram himself is hurting, to whom am I to complain? I have no complaint. If Ramchandra ji is hurting me, I have no problem. So that is the true bhakta, that even when pain is coming, he does not blame Bhagwan. He says, that is fine. So that is the glory of this beautiful mantra, where he uses different names of Bhagwan, and each one of them is such a beautiful name. So they say, pick any one name, you know, and then just chant that. Om Namo Narayanaya Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om Namah Shivaya. So remembering the Lord, remembering his glories, remembering his stories, that is how one should live one's life. So today we have done three verses where it says, how should I love the Lord with all my faculties? My eyes should be wanting to see him, my hands folded, my head bowed down. And then we also studied this one about how the glory of the Lord, how infinite is Brahman. That's why in Purush Suktam he says, Tripad Urdhva Udait Purushaha Pado Eta Abhavat Punaha. He says three parts of him, of that Purusha, is beyond this universe. Only one quarter, one small part of him has become this 14 worlds, not only the space and the universe, but all the 14 worlds, which are much bigger than our worlds. All of them are only a small part of the glory of the Lord. So we have 10 minutes. I can either do one more shloka, or if we have questions, because it will be a little bit rushed, but I can try. Do we have any questions, comments?
Find that in your Apple.
Anything you would like to add, Sharad?
You can do it.
I just wanted to say, you know, oftentimes in regards to conditional love and unconditional love, as you had said, you know, we often find ourselves, or even I find myself, preying upon God instead of praying to Him when things get bad, when circumstances are in turmoil, whether it's at the vyavaharic level or personal level. So it's really not conditional love. But even taking unconditional and conditional at the family level, we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, hey, is this really unconditional love? Because, for example, all of us have children or grandchildren, and we think, okay, we're giving them education, we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for their college, and so on. But then in our back of our mind, we think, oh, you know, when I reach 75, 85 years old, yeah, I hope that my kids will take care of me, you know, take care of me.
Right.
And if they don't take care of you, then you say, oh my God, well, what are you doing? You know, I spent all this money for you. I did this for you. I did that for you. So is it conditional or unconditional? So we have to question ourselves. And then you had mentioned love being the ultimate, you know, the highest way of offering to God, basically. Right. And there's a beautiful song, Sabse Unchi Prema Sagai, that really highlights Lord Krishna's, Bhagwan's, you know, love in that song. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Moini, yes, auntie, anything?
But they also say have to ask God rather than asking anybody else. So there's nothing wrong in asking God.
Right.
I mean, that also we should remember. It's not that we shouldn't ask Him anything.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you have sorrow,
it's better to ask God than to ask Him.
That's true, when you need to ask. But don't only go to God only when you have problems to ask, but always.
Anilji, there's another story I heard why Lord Krishna didn't play flute after that, because Radha took his flute and said, this is the gift, you give it to me. Okay. So you should never play after that. This I read somewhere.
Right. Okay. We can chant the next shloka, do word by word meaning, and then if we have time, I can try to cover it. Auntie, would you like to repeat after me? You have this? You can unmute.
I'll definitely try. Looks very
this hard. Yeah, the last one was easy. This one is a Bhakta Paya Bhujanga Garuda Mani Trailokya Rakshamani.
Bhakta Paya Bhujanga Garuda Gani Trailokya Rakshamani.
Gopi Lochana Chata Kambuda Mani Saundarya Mudra Mani.
Gopi Lochan Chatakam Mudya Mani Sau Andrur Mudra Mani.
Ya Kanta Mani Rukmini Ghanakucha Dvandvaika Bhusha Mani.
Ya Kanta Mani Rukmini Dhinat Kuch Dvandhai Kabhusha Mani.
Shreyo Deva Shikha Manir Dishatuno Gopal Chuda Mani.
Shreyo Deva Shikha Manir Dishatuno Gopal Chuda Mani.
Okay, you can please mute. We'll all chant together. Bhakta Paya Bhujanga Garuda Mani Trailokya Rakshamani Gopi Lochana Chatakam Budamani Saundarya Mudra Mani Yakanta Mani Rukmini Ghanakucha Dvandvaikabhushamanihi Shreyo Deva Shikhamanir Dishatuno Gopal Chudamanihi. Beautiful shloka, a lot of money in this. Money is money, not money as but is money. So don't think there's a lot of money in this shloka. So bhakta apaya means that which removes the dangers of bhakta. How? Bhujanga Garuda Mani. Just as when there are a lot of snakes, when the Garuda comes, it is said Garuda comes, all the snakes run helter skelter. So just as when Garuda comes, the snakes go away. So when Bhagwan comes, Bhakta Paya, all my dangers go away. Why? Because he is Trailokya Rakshamani. He is the crown jewel, the beautiful jewel that protects all the three lokas. Not only earth, but heaven, hell, all of the lokas are protected and preserved by Bhagwan Vishnu. Bhagwan Brahmaji is the creator. Lord Shiva is the one who does recycling. But the protection, the maintenance is done by Vishnu Bhagwan. So this particular text is devoted to Vishnu Bhagwan and to Sri Krishna. So he says, you are the Trailokya Rakshamani. You are the beautiful jewel that protects all of us. Gopi Lochana Chatakam Budamani. Just as the Chataka bird only wants the rain water, and he keeps waiting. Only when rain falls, he drinks. Chataka must be happy now in California, a lot of rain falling. But otherwise, he won't drink. So same way, gopis were only, their eyes were only for Bhagwan Sri Krishna. And Saundarya Mudra Mani, just as in a ring, if there is a money, if there's a beautiful jewel, then that lends beauty. So same way, Bhagwan Krishna lends beauty to our life. And then ya kanta mani rukmini ghana kuja dvandvaika bhusha mani. Kanta mani means the most beautiful jewel that is on the bosom, because the rukmini had a necklace and on her bosom there was this beautiful money called kanta mani, which is bhusha mani, which was the decorative jewel. That means that Krishna was always in her heart. So that's why they say she had the money of Bhagwan Krishna always in her heart. And this money is the one Shreyo Deva, oh, the best among all the gods, Shikhamani. Oh, the best among the Devo Shikhamani, the best among gods. Shreyo Disha to know. Show us what is Shreyas. Why? Because Gopal is the Chudamani. Chudamani means the crest jewel. That's why we have this book, Vivek Chudamani, where the crest jewel of discrimination. So here, Bhagwan Sri Krishna is worshipped as the crest jewel of discrimination. We'll do this in little more detail next week when we repeat this, but we won't go into the detailed chanting of it. We'll just do the meaning of this shloka. So we'll end here. Thank you, everybody, very much. We'll do the closing prayer. And then next week, see you again from this shloka onwards. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hi. Hari Hi Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Hari Hi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.
Thank you. Thank you. Hari Om.
Thank you. Hari Om.
Thank you.
Hari Om.
Thank you.
Thank you.